The 7 days of chaos. An apocalyptic lit RPG story. Greetings, human. The Council of the Universe has voted and concluded that your world will now become what is commonly known as a Dead Zone Realm. A rebirth of times for your planet will begin shortly, and you are being assigned to a region currently, or past tense, was called the United States of America, and you will soon arrive in the state of Tennessee. Your test is to simply survive the chaos that this planet brings during its ending days for a total of 7 days. In doing so, you will be granted by our council 2 options. If you die, then your world dies with you. Keep that in mind, as there is no replay or multiple health lives offered in this game. Option number 1. A total cleanse of the world with a fresh start with your species, along with the creatures and vegetation life currently there. Option number 2. Let the world fix itself from the 7 days of chaos, if it doesn't destroy itself first. Please note, if you pick this option, there is no guarantee that your world will heal itself to where it was before this trial. As part of the transition, all remaining humans will have access to new and existing classes and skills, as well as the traditional interface display. We have been observing humanity for some time now, looking for who may fit the bill, and you are it, Mr. Gray. We know that the most popular or outgoing human candidates are not always the most qualified. Take a look at your president the past few years, for instance. Did you really think that he was fit to lead your country, or speak complete sentences, or find his way off a stage without getting lost? They are all bark with no bite. I look for the loners, the overly undiscovered qualified individuals with the most untapped potential. You may ask yourself how we found and chose you. Well, the answer is quite simple. Some questions you just don't ask. And you do not have a choice in the matter either, so there is no negotiation or crying like a baby. You are simply our entertainment, our pawns on a chessboard, our ant in the farm you simply call Earth. Good luck. Day 1. I need a drink. I awoke to a blue, clear sky. I must have been laying on my back in the grass because I started to itch, plus it seemed to be off balance too, noticing I wore a backpack behind me as well. I vaguely had memories of the weird as hell conversation, or should I say voices speaking in my head just moments ago, but I knew that Dorothy was no longer in Kansas taking in my new surroundings. I sat up, seeing that I was in a grass clearing surrounded by trees and brush. Yet I could still hear the sounds of screaming and car horns, cop sirens, somewhere off beyond the trees. I stood up, brushing off the grass and dirt from my black Dickies cargo pants, and a prompt popped up on my display. Welcome to Knoxville, Tennessee, where you will be tested for the fate of your planet by surviving the chaos for 7 days. Well, that was comforting, I muttered to myself. I knew I needed a game plan, and I needed to know where I stood as far as my stats, so I willed up my stat page display on my profile before anything else. Name, Mr. Gray. Race, human. Age, 27. Health, 200. Strength, 40. Damage, 20. Skills, none. Magic, none. Reputation, noob. I closed my profile display, and I looked at my surroundings and followed the sounds I'd heard echoing past the trees that surrounded me. I took off my backpack to see what the contents were inside. You have found one can opener. You have found one water canteen with the belt hook. You have found one handheld lighter. You have found one Elementum folding pocket knife. Alright, so the gods have blessed me with at least some shit, I laughed to myself. I hooked the empty canteen to my belt, and I put the lighter and the pocket knife into my pockets, and kept the can opener in the backpack, zipping it shut and swinging it back over my back once again. I noticed a large dark plume of black smoke rising in the air at about my 2 o'clock and started walking in that direction. Looking at my watch as I walked, I saw the display screen read 8:07 a.m. Well, it looks like I have a long day to stay out of sight and hidden if possible, I giggled to myself. After about 5 minutes of walking is when I first laid eyes on the beginning stages of the chaos. I was close to the downtown area. I could tell, judging by the thin roads and one-way streets surrounding the large old brick buildings. I could be wrong, but it definitely looked like I was close to a downtown area to me. I saw several people running in all directions. Some with scared looks on their faces. Some were holding bags or grocery baskets full of items I could only assume they stole from somewhere at the speed they were going. I saw a police car zoom past and stop about 20 feet in front of me. One police officer stepped out of his vehicle, commanding people to settle down. Just then, a shot rang out, echoing the already madness atmosphere, and I witnessed the cop's head explode into a bloody gush of brain, bone, and gore, spraying all over the blacktop behind him as his body fell limp. Everyone then started screaming even more than before, going crazy. A couple people started fighting. I looked all over in all directions at the crazy people and in nearby building windows trying to see where that shot had come from. I couldn't see a shooter, but I did see more violence erupt on the street once the cop was taken out of the equation. I did what I felt I had to do. I wasn't going to last long here with just a pocket knife. I semi-walked hunched over towards the bloody corpse of the dead officer and pulled his body across the asphalt into the bushes I was hiding behind. I needed to see what gear he had on him that I could possibly use to defend myself with. Looking down at the cop, I analyzed what he carried on him. You have found Kevlar XLL Bulletproof Vest. The unmatched vest of flexibility and protection, less rigid and unquestionably more comfortable than the highest rating soft armor available. With the XLO, you will even forget you're wearing body armor. You have found Glock 45. G45 Gen 5 9mm Compact 17-round Pistol. With this pistol, you will put the fear of God in the eyes of your enemies. Police issued belt with 9mm gun holder with compartments with the following items. 4 extra clips. 1 set of handcuffs with keys. 1 radio. 1 taser gun. 1 mag light. I closed the display and replaced my belt with his, putting the canteen and gun into its holster, and struggling with his upper torso to get the Kevlar vest off of him so I could wear it myself. After about 10 minutes of struggling, I finally got it on and thought of my next move. I needed to find some kind of shelter. The horns were now blaring like some tornado was coming as it rang out through the air at a high volume. I needed to also find food, water, and somewhere to hide. Shelter is key, but I have to find somewhere that won't be currently occupied, or where I'll be bothered but still within walking distance for food and water resources in this vicinity, at least for tonight anyways. Now on the corner of Walnut Street and Main Street, I headed north on Walnut, trying to keep out of sight of all this madness. But it was impossible with all that is happening on the streets. I saw a woman getting mugged right in front of me. An elderly gentleman being beaten to death, stomped by teenagers with their feet and skateboards. A part of me wanted to stop them, but another part of me reminded myself, 7 days, dipshit, that's all you gotta do. Just keep your nose clean, stay out of people's way and business, and keep clear of everyone as much as possible, unless it's in self-defense. I wanted no part of that mess, and I eventually decided to turn right on Union Avenue. I felt my gut rumble and came across a tiny bar on my left called Knox Brew Lounge. Everyone seemed to be outside, and I wanted to be inside, away from the lunatics, and plus, I knew bars would have something not only to drink, but had food too, and my stomach needed something ASAP. I cupped my hands on the glass and peered inside. I didn't see anyone or any kind of movement. Maybe the place was closed or something. Looking down at my watch, I saw that it was now getting close to 12 p.m. in the afternoon, and I really needed to get off the streets. I tried turning the door handle, and to no surprise, it was locked. Great, I thought to myself. I need to get inside here, but I knew breaking down the door or the front glass was not an option, as I was looking to get inside for, safety shelter for the night, plus food. Shoot, think fast, I told myself, as I heard glass breaking from somewhere else down on Union. Right beside me on the right was a narrow alley between this building and another. I turned down the alley and came face to face with a man looking away from me, just standing there with a bat in his right hand, seeming to be staring down at something in front of him. I quickly looked down to see a woman who looked to be in her early 20s laying back down on the ground with blood pooling out of her skull. I saw that her skirt had been ripped out of the way and her lower half was exposed. The man made a gesture like he was unzipping or zipping up his pants, and I gritted my teeth. He had obviously killed her, but now he either had or planned to still take advantage of her. I analyzed him, but made my decision even before doing so. Name: Ronald. Race: Human. Age: 43. Health: 150. Strength: 50. Damage: 60. Skills: none. Magic: none. Reputation: creeper. I decided that stealth was the better choice compared to using my gun to save ammo, so I took out my knife, flicking it open, and creeping towards him from behind. Once I was in arm's reach, he must have sensed me or something, because with all the noise outside, there was no way he could have heard me. Either way, with one swift motion, I slit his throat and watched him grasp onto his neck, choking as blood poured and squirted between his fingers, gagging and falling on his back beside the woman. I then dropped onto him, stabbing him repeatedly over and over in his chest, yelling out every curse word I knew in the book, E toda madre o un de madre, and felt like Miklo and what he had did to Big Al. This is for you, Montana, I yelled out, stopping myself and grabbing the shitbag's bat that he had dropped. Vatos locos forever! You have found Wooden Baseball Bat. Strength, plus 40. Weight, 1.4 kilograms. Item class, average. Smiling sadistically, I stood up, seeing a door and roll-up door on the left side of the wall at about 15 feet down the alley. I walked past the two corpses and walked over to the door on the left. The door, to my surprise, was open ajar about 2 inches. One of them must have been from this bar, I told myself, and slowly opened the door, peeking inside and also trying to avoid any creaking from the door. I leaned down, picking up an empty beer can and tossed it inside to see if I startled anyone inside, but heard nothing aside from the can itself. Feeling confident that the place was empty, I walked inside, closing and locking the door behind me. I crept over towards the front glass windows and closed their blinds and started searching the bar freely. I kept the lights off, even though it was getting close to dusk by the time I had got settled in. I didn't need anyone looking for a fight or trying to camp out here too. I found plenty of bottles of water, adding a few to my backpack and snacks and finger foods. I also helped myself to that good old Tennessee whiskey and sipped it for the remainder of the night while chain-smoking cigarettes inside a closed room. Again, not the best idea, but I had never killed anyone before and my nerves were fried. I don't know what time I had passed out, but sometime during the night, I made a makeshift bed on the bar floor out of spare clothing and rags and used my backpack as a pillow and passed out peacefully. Day 2, Underground City. I must have slept in because boy, what a frickin' hangover. Not the smartest move, but like I had mentioned before, that was the first time I had ever regulated someone. I sat up, yawned, and let out my regular routine morning fart. And looked down at my watch. 10:34 a.m. Damn, I really did sleep in big time, I thought to myself. Upon getting up, I ransacked the bar and back room looking for extra food and water I could still fit inside my backpack. Once that was done, I took a moment to think about what day two would now bring. If I'm not mistaken, those universal god dickweeds said 7 days total. And with my luck, each day would probably get crazier as time went on. I jumped at the sudden commotion as someone or something was banging on the side entrance door. Holy shitballs! I jumped to my feet, knowing at any damn moment that door would probably come flying off its hinges and I needed somewhere to hide and fast. I wasn't going to hide in the back room. That would just be a dead-end trap if I was in need to escape. The only option would be to hide behind the bar and hope that whoever it was just walks past me and heads towards the back on reflex. I hid behind the back wall of the 4-foot bar wall and waited. After a few more bangs, the door came crashing inwards and in comes this huge frickin' guy, at least 6'5", dressed in tight jeans. A rainbow tank top with the words Biden 2024 on the front, wearing some funky 80s looking pink headband across his head. If it wasn't for his size, I may have laughed, but this dude was big as F, and he was also holding a machete in his hand. He walked slowly past me and started making his way towards the back room, which gave me a few moments I needed to analyze him before making my decision. Name, Marty. Race, human. Age, 55. Health, 100. Strength, 50. Damage, 70. Skills, none. Magic, none. Reputation, psychopath. Well, at first I was considering just saying hello and letting him know that I'm friendly and just looking for a place to stay for a while. But knowing this dude's reputation is anything but friendly. I could either try to leave without him noticing or simply try to kill him. I didn't want to kill anyone, but the guy's got a machete, and I'm not letting him kill me, so it's survival of the fittest at this point in time. My knife nor my bat would do anything against a machete unless I got the upper hand. I figured I could try to sneak out without him seeing me, but when I started walking towards the door, he pops back out from in back and smiles at me. A dark, sadistic, sinister, evil smile that sent shivers down my spine.
Oh, some fresh meat. Come here, fishy fishy,
the man said to me, starting to walk slowly in my direction. I didn't think I could run. That would have had me end up with a machete in my back, as I would have had to pass him to get through the door. I had no choice. There was no reasoning with this dude. He was clearly insane. I pulled out my 9mm, pointing it at his chest, and pulled the trigger. And nothing happened. What the hell? Shit, the safety, dumbass, I thought, clicking it off right before he swung the machete, and I fired once into his chest, dropping him to the ground. That's all she wrote, I thought as I holstered my gun and walked over to him, kicking the machete out of his hand away from him and asked him, why? Damn it, why did you make me do it? He gagged and laughed at me and simply said, earn this. Earn it. He sputtered as blood seeped out of the corners of his mouth as he laid there. I stood there, not moving an inch, just simply watching him die. It seemed easier this go round. Maybe only the first time it is the hardest, I questioned myself. And I knew that if I had to do it again, that I could. And more than likely, I definitely would, seeing how things have been progressing thus far. Now with the door being broken off its hinges, this site was no longer safe to stay at. I analyzed his machete, picking it up. You have found machete. Strength, plus 70. Weight, 1.4 kilograms. Item class, average. I slid the machete behind my belt on my side and slowly left the bar from the side door. I looked both ways, not seeing anyone. Well, alive anyways. Noticing three more dead bodies laid out randomly in the alleyway. I need to find somewhere to camp out and somewhere that's not so noticeable, I told myself as I left the alley and took a left. I came to the corner of what was named Market Street, a small little open area between large brick buildings with what looked to be like a bunch of small diners and hipster-type places full of dead bodies, people running, screaming, and fighting. A woman then ran up to me begging for help. I told her to back off, and she surprisingly did. And then her mood changed faster than a bipolar person from frightened to now angry. You dick, I'm just a hopeless woman trying to survive out here from the attacks from North Korea and China, or was it those ragheads again? She questioned herself. No matter, since you don't want to help, I think I'll just take your shit. She dragged out that last part of her sentence as she started smiling sinisterly, pulling out a knife from her back waist. I then saw a man behind her who had been lying on the ground, obviously playing dead, sit up smiling, and stood up holding a piece of a 2x4 wood in his hand. I then held up my baseball bat and simply said, "Let's get nuts!" in my Michael Keaton impersonation. She then came at me, and I Ty-Cobbed her head, cracking her skull, and she fell straight to the ground motionless. The man sucker hit me with the 2x4, but luckily the vest took most of that blow. In doing so, I lost my grip on my bat and pulled out my machete and stabbed him straight through his stomach. He stopped instantly, grabbing as his legs gave out and also fell to the ground dead. "And stay down," I mocked him, pulling away the blade and picking up the bat from the ground, continuing on. I hit the corner of Union and Gay Street. This seemed to be their main downtown street, judging by its layout. I looked around, not seeing anywhere safe to hide. I took a right heading southward and proceeded with caution. I believed I had enough goodies in my backpack for a day or so, but I definitely wanted to scavenge what I could in the meantime. I noticed a pizza joint near the Big Tennessee Theater sign and stepped inside, seeing that the front glass had already been busted out and the place was destroyed like everything else here that I've seen so far. I grabbed a hoagie sandwich and some chips along with a wild cherry Pepsi can and anything random to munch on that I could still fit. I noticed a few cans of refried beans and took those as well. Why the hell is there beans in a pizza spot? I said to myself. But no matter, finders keepers, bitches. Before I left the pizza spot, I checked my watch. It now read 2:21 p.m., and I continued on down Gay Street. I made it a couple of blocks before things started to escalate in the area to where there was just no way I'm getting anywhere on foot without getting hit, stabbed, or something much worse. I happened to be leaning over a side rail as I noticed a gap between the sidewalk and the actual brick building next to me. I casually glanced down and noticed something totally amazing. Right there where I stood was what looked to be a lower level. It looked like a walkway and storefronts. I could see a couple of doors and windows, just like the businesses I see here downtown. Like, what the F? Was there a lower level here downtown on Gay Street? And why? Well, don't look a gift horse in the face, I said to myself, and I carefully glanced around, making sure no one was around and paying attention to me, and thankfully nobody was at the moment. I hopped over the rail and carefully made my way down into this underground city street right under the heart of downtown Knoxville. This underground walkway was unbelievable. It was covered in dirt, dust, trash, and tons of graffiti. It definitely seemed like some bored teenagers and homeless people would come down here frequently, but as of right now, I didn't see a soul. And that is exactly what I was looking for the next 6 days. And to take it up a notch, I found a small old suite which was tucked into one of the end units in this area I found and tried to gain entry. Of course the door was locked, but the windows were covered in flyers, old newspapers, and tons of dust and filth, so it would be a perfect spot to take refuge for the rest of the night. I just had to figure out how to open this door without breaking it down or breaking a window. I tried everything that I could think of, and nothing seemed to work. Eventually, I thought of one idea, which I knew might jack up the door or the lock itself, but if there was any large furniture or a wooden chair, I could simply arch it under the doorknob from the inside. I took out my pocket knife and started messing with the lock between the frame of the door. 10 minutes later, and totally jacked up the wooden frame, I got it to unlock and opened the door and stepped inside. I did see a couple of chairs, but they were pretty busted, and I did see a large empty wooden bookshelf. I closed the door behind me. It wasn't locking correctly, but it may have. I couldn't really tell. Like I said, I haven't done anything like this before. I maneuvered and pushed and wobbled that ancient shelf in front of the door as close as I could, and then sat on the ground with my back against one of the walls inside the little suite, removing my backpack and placing it in front of me as I sat opening it and deciding what the next step would be. Looking down at my watch at this point, I read that it was already past 6 p.m. Well, dusk was definitely here, if not coming very soon. I just lucked out today. I grabbed the Wild Cherry Pepsi and cracked it open, taking a long swig of that delicious warm soda, beggars can't be choosers, and took out the hoagie, unwrapping the saran wrap and diving into my meal for the night. I wanted to start a fire later on, but decided to just keep it stealthy while I was still here in the city. I'm not looking for trouble. All I wanted to do was survive and get the hell out of the city as fast as possible and just wrap up these last few days. The last time I checked my watch, it read 9:17 p.m. before I eventually made a makeshift bed on the floor and fell asleep almost instantly. Day 3. The Hanging Tunnel. Waking up was much more relaxing compared to being in that bar from the previous night. Even though I slept in, I was more on edge as everything was pretty super new to me as far as the chaos going around and making my first kill and all. But it does get easier, and I will kill again. Best believe that. I had to stay strong, positive and believe in myself that I will survive this and nothing is going to stop me. I just needed to get topside and out of this city as soon as possible. I watched The Walking Dead, and if you have too, then you would know that big major cities are the worst places to be in an apocalypse, zombies or not. Humans are more of a threat than anything else when it comes down to the nitty-gritty. I gathered my things after eating a quick bite from my backpack and downing another bottle of water. I placed my back against the shelf and used all of my body weight and strength in my legs to the side just far enough out of the way to open the door and get outside. Once I was topside, I couldn't believe it. There were some military tanks cruising down the streets announcing the following on their intercoms.
This is not a drill. Please, for your own safety, get off the streets and go back to your homes. Lock your doors and wait for police or government officials to come to you. Do not, under any circumstances, open your door to anyone that you do not know under any means.
This announcement must have been a tape recording because it kept playing over and over repeatedly as it rolled down Gay Street. I crept down the street as more people were running, fighting. One of them threw a Mazel Tov cocktail wine bottle with a lit rag at the tank. It bursted into a small flame, obviously doing absolutely nothing to the tank, but the gunner opened the top door latch and opened fire on the guy with some kind of automatic rifle. Continuing down the street, I was tackled into an alley by two men. They came out of nowhere and just jumped me. They started kicking me while I was on the ground and laughing, spitting at me and yelling curses. They didn't realize that I had a gun because I upholstered it, turning on my back as they were kicking, and I shot both men several times. They both fell, one gasping and holding his chest. The other didn't move an inch. I sensed an evilness I didn't know I had in me. I was overly pissed off that they seriously jumped me like that, laughed at me, spit at me like I was scum. God knows what they would have done if I wasn't armed. I haven't had a bowel movement since I got here, I thought sinisterly. I checked to make sure that he nor the other man had any weapons that he could use. All I found was a knife and I tossed it out of the way. I pointed the gun to his temple while I undid my cargo pants, slipping them down just below my cheeks, and told him to open wide or die, bitch, as I squatted over his face, releasing a big, watery, fat shit on him. I lifted my pants back up, turning to him and laughed. Now you eat it or die where you lay, I said to him. The man did as I demanded, as disgusting and awful as it was, not only to watch, but smell. I laughed some more. Then, when the job was completed, I shot him in the chest and walked back out on the Gay Street like nothing had happened. I know you must think that was utterly disgusting, and you know what? You're right. But what I have seen people do and what those two guys planned on doing to me, I felt I needed a little bit of vengeance, and a little darkness doesn't hurt anyone now, does it? I guess I am a little twisted, but you know what? I don't give enough. Just like Bishop. There was another police car down on Gay Street fighting with someone. Eventually, the two got into a wrestling match as I neared, and the civilian stabbed the police officer repeatedly on the ground. I was not concerned for the cop nor him. What I wanted was that cop car. I needed wheels to get out of this town, and that was my ticket out of here. The man stood up with wobbly knees and walked his way over to the open door of the police car. I was right behind him and knocked his skull with my bat, and that was the end of him. I grabbed his shirt and dragged him away from the car. Came a groan behind me. I turned and saw the police officer was still alive as he looked at me, reaching his arm out for assistance. I quickly analyzed him. Name, William. Race, human. Age, 43. Health, 5. Strength, 5. Damage, 2. Skills, none. Magic, none. Reputation, dirty cop. You have found Remington 870 Police Model Riot Shotgun. Strength, plus 150. Weight, 3.2 kilograms. Item class, average. Remington 870 Police Model Riot Shotgun is often used with a 4-round magazine tube for law enforcement only. This will pump some damage into your foes. I'll take that, I said before he spoke.
Help me.
I looked down at him and smirked. Dirty ass cop, karma's a bitch, ain't it? And walked back over to his police car cruiser, sat down in the driver's seat, and closed the door. F the police coming straight from the underground. Suddenly brought on a whole new meaning to me. NWA was always one of my favorites growing up. The keys were still in the ignition, turning them, starting the car, and driving down Gay Street. Looking at the dash time clock, it read 12:13 p.m. I had plenty of time, or so I thought, as I drove past Cumberland, Maine, then West Hill Avenue, and eventually crossed over the Gay Street Bridge into South Knoxville. Up ahead, I noticed a blockade of crashed cars all bundled up on the cross street of East Blunt Avenue and Gay Street. I tried to swerve around them, continuing on to Sevier Avenue, but lost my car's control from the speed I was going and went off-roading down a dirt hill passing Curbella Shriners, making a sharp turn left onto Mimosa Avenue, popping one of the front tires in the process. I tried to keep control of the car while on Mimosa, but ended up crashing it alongside a telephone pole on Achley Street near some railroad tracks. Luckily, I wasn't going at a fast speed by that time that I had crashed, because I definitely could have died going the speed I was going earlier on that bridge. I got out of the car and took in my surroundings. The good news was, I was out of the main city. The bad news was, there were still random people around, but not like they were back downtown. I happened to glance down the railroad tracks and saw further down what looked to be an underground tunnel. I could barely even notice it with all the trees and bushes and overgrowth just about covering it completely. But there definitely was something hidden, and that's the type of place I wanted to be and stay out of sight for as long as possible. I grabbed the shotgun and started walking onto the railroad tracks towards the underground entrance. The closer I got, the more of an eerie feeling I felt, like something or someone evil, like that feeling that you get in here, like that thunder vibration sound in your ears in a bad dream right before shit hits the fan or a kill or jump scare and you wake up scared as hell. That's the feeling I was getting, minus the thunder sounds in my ears. A couple of minutes later, and that's when I noticed them. I don't know how I didn't notice it there before, but right in front of me was not only the overgrown of greenage of plants covering 90% of the entrance of this underground train tunnel, but also three people hanging from the entrance from nooses. They looked to have been skinned alive like Jim Hopper. Definitely would have been something you would have saw in that Predator movie with Dutch and Dylan finding them hanging in the trees in the jungle. Now the question is, who skinned them, why, and are they still around? Did they eat their skin? Or why the hell skin them? Ugh, yuck, I thought. But in reality, having these folks skinned and hanging there might just work to my advantage. It might just keep others from entering and becoming a threat or a bother to me. I walked around the three hanging dead corpses and pushed the overgrowth of brush out of the way and walked inside the dark tunnel. The tunnel was almost completely dark, save for the small streams that passed through the foliage. I knelt down, grabbing a small piece of wood and found some old cloth and tied it around the top of it to make a makeshift torch out of it. As I took out the lighter and lit the cloth until it caught fire and continued to explore the tunnel I had just entered. It looked like a primarily straight tunnel that kinda curved, not showing the exit quite visible. Either that or it's darker than I thought. Either way, I saw no one else inside this tunnel, and I decided this would be the best spot for me to camp out for the night. I started gathering random pieces of wood, broken twigs, and anything that I knew would catch flame, and created a small fire pit in the center of the tunnel. I had enough for a small fire and plenty in a side pile to add fuel to it to have it last until I at least wanted to get some rest. I spent some time thinking about the day's past events, and the day prior as well. What I did to that guy, shitting on his face and making him eat it, was hella nasty, but it felt good to be bad sometimes, I thought, as I let out a laugh that created an echo in the tunnel louder than I wanted it to. I didn't want people knowing about this. Hell, the locals probably do, but I doubted this would be considered as any kind of safe haven or safe house. I would want to find some kind of house tomorrow, I thought. It's getting a bit nippy tonight, but luckily in the tunnel I avoided any wind, but the temperature was still cold. Using the torch, I lit the fire in the fire pit sitting cross-legged and rephrasing a line from legend out of self-entertainment.
Fire, fire, burning higher, making music like a choir.
I memed to no one in particular. I cooked up and ate 2 cans of beans, scooping them out of the hot cans with Frito-Lay's scoop chips, and downing another water bottle, aiding the fire, and finally just calling it a night, and fell into a peaceful sleep. Day 4. Glory Holes and Crack Monsters. The following morning, I got a notification that startled me from my slumber. You have passed the halfway point of the test. Stay alive, or everything you love and know are doomed. Shoot, no pressure or anything, I muttered to myself, closing the notification icon. I glanced at my watch, seeing it was nearly 9 a.m. The underground tunnel was definitely a good move for an overnight stay, but I didn't feel like it was safe enough going forward. I needed solid walls and a door and lock. I still felt somewhat exposed here, even though it's partially underground. I cooked up some breakfast and downed more water, and decided on heading further south towards Merville, getting away from Knoxville as a whole would be the best plan of action overall. Leaving the tunnel, I casually walked down the old train tracks back onto the street heading south. I eventually ended up not seeing too many folks the further south I traveled. I happened to see a mountain bike casually laying on the grass in front of one of the neighborhood houses and discovered it was undamaged and fully intact. This would definitely speed up my travels and possibly escape danger as well. I got on the bike and started my stroll. I heard distant screams and gunshots echoing in the distance. A typical day in paradise, I guess, I thought to myself, smiling. 3 more days, I said to myself. 3 more days. About 2 hours later in the afternoon, there was a sudden shaking on the ground. I felt like I was back in California, as this was no simple rumble. This was a huge frickin' earthquake. I almost lost control of my balance on the bike and stopped, taking a look around. Behind me on the oncoming side of the street, this huge crack appeared and started to not only spread down the blacktop, but it also started to open. Large plumes of dirty smoke billowed out from underground, and a smell like swamp ass hit my nose. But that wasn't the only thing that came out from the cracked ground. I saw a large hand with sharp pointed fingers gripping the top edge of the street and started lifting itself. This horrifying, deformed looking humanoid demon creature. I quickly analyzed it. Name: Chesra. Race: Hellspawn. Age: unknown. Health: 150. Strength: 70. Damage: 50. Skills: none. Magic: fire. Reputation: evil. A Hellspawn is known to be a crossbreed between a demon and a hellhound. No one quite knows its true origin, but if you happen to see one, kill it fast or run for all hell, because if not, hell will get you. This thing was fully out of the crack now, and stood on its back hind legs at the height of just over 4 feet tall. Huh, you're not so bad, I thought, lifting up my shotgun and taking aim at this hellish beast. It then let out an insanely loud roar, to which I almost dropped the shotgun if it wasn't for the fact that it took both hands. Among other things, giggity. And I fired straight at its head, blowing its top clean off. Its body plopped on the asphalt, and this greenish ooze poured out from its exposed neck. Then I slipped the shotgun away and started to pedal like I had never pedaled before. I knew all that quake and shake and big-ass crater crack wasn't just for that one hellspawn. I took a glance behind me and confirmed my theory. Man, I hate being right all the time, I said as several more hellspawns came out of the cracked earth in all various sizes. Shit, 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 I said, continuing my escape. More earthquakes were rumbling, and I could hear asphalt cracking somewhere else nearby, but didn't see anything in the direction I was currently going. I lost track of time, racing for the life of me literally, and came upon the fork of Sevierville Pike and Morton Lane. I stayed right, continuing down and crossing over onto McNutt Road, slowing my pace. Another large cracking sound and a sudden boom echoed behind me. Seen behind me, way back on Sevier Pike, was now split wide open like a popped zit, and more of these creatures started to climb out. More screams of people could be heard, gunshots from the brave taking a stand for their families. I just hoped to God that they had enough ammo for those bastards. There's no way of telling how many of these creatures are being let loose upon our land of the living. Pedaling my little heart out, I knew I needed to find some shelter for the night and fast. There's no way I could keep this up for much longer. I hooked a sharp left onto Prospect Road and saw what appeared to be a small old-looking wooden house down the street. Perfect. Those houses have strong bones, and it looked to be abandoned by the looks of it from outside. The front door was locked, of course. I left the bike on the porch and made my way around back, seeing a raised back porch patio. I hopped over and tried the back door. Yes, I thought to myself. The door was unlocked. I opened the door slowly and called out, "Anyone here?" No answer. Good. The last thing I needed was to have problems with innocent people thinking I'm trying to hijack their house or rob them or something. But judging by what's been going on the past few days, they were smart and packed up and left. To where, God knows, nowhere is really safe. The world is in ruins right now, not just here in Tennessee. I locked the door behind me and double-checked all the other doors I could find, which ended up just being a side door as the front door was already locked. I went over to the thermostat and turned on their AC. I was sweating and hotter than Hades and I wanted to cool down. I laid my backpack on the small kitchen table and sat down on their couch to relax. I went into their pantry later on and luckily found not only a bunch of water bottles but also food and snacks. I filled my backpack to the brim and checked out what else they had left inside their fridge. I got lucky, as there was a Taco Bell baggie with 3 bean and cheese burritos and 4 soft tacos, and I ate the living shit out of it and farted the rest of the evening. And having a gay old time laughing my ass off. I mean, I really was enjoying myself. I had their old school wood burner stove fireplace going when evening came, and I simply just relaxed and thought about the close calls I had had, and then getting mentally prepared for the next day's travels, and had the best sleep I could ever expect in this apocalyptic chaos trial run. Day 5. The Dead Rise. Awakening, I yawned and checked my watch. My watch read 11:23 a.m. Damn, I really slept in for sure, I told myself. Even though this cozy little cabin-like house had just about everything I needed, I couldn't stand by and simply pray that nothing comes knocking down the doors here. I knew it was best to keep moving and only take shelter for sleep and not for leisure. Those hellspawns are raving havoc, and it's only a matter of time before they reach me down here. I can't stand still and take that chance. I still had my wheels too, and I made little to no noise to attract myself to unwanted eyes. I honestly thought about hotwiring a truck and just going into the mountains, but for one, that would draw a lot of noise. And second, I don't even know how to hotwire a car. I collected my things and rolled a throw blanket up tight and tied it on the back of my backpack just in case if I ever needed to sleep outdoors again. At least I would have something to cover myself with. I left out the back and hopped over the siding onto the grass floor, walking over towards my bike and hopped on. I continued to head south now, not staying directly on the roads 24/7, and did a little bit of off-roading through grass and such. The screams were still audible but faint. Still, that didn't mean that I was clear from danger by far, but my hunch was correct that getting as far from the city was the best idea. After some time, I hopped back onto Sevierville Pike and kept my speed at a steady pace. I was about to cross Dick Ford Lane, seeing a cemetery to my left. But that is not all that I saw in that cemetery. Arms, heads, torsos, and even full zombie-like decaying bodies pulling themselves out of the graves. Some were already out and about, limping around. I let out a "holy shit!" that unfortunately came out louder than I would have liked because it did get a lot of their attention. They stopped and turned and started limping towards me as I started to race past them. Luckily, the street had a slight decline on the street and nothing was in my way. Tens, no, hundreds of these decomposing bodies were now pushing against the metal fence trying to collect their meal. But luckily for my sake, that metal fence held just long enough for me to race by. I spoke too soon, because right after I had passed the cemetery, I heard the fence give out, and all the zombies started heading through and following me down the street. In the movies, they're either super slow or fast, like in World War Z. Luckily for me, they were slow, so I didn't really need to go hardcore on the mountain bike I was using. I rode and rode, passing various trailers and small homes along my joyride. I lost track after a while, but those zombies were not fast, but that doesn't mean that either they couldn't smell my scent or at least kept following the same road I was also using. Eventually, I knew I had to ditch this road and find shelter somewhere with some strong walls and out of sight. I checked my watch, seeing that I was now pushing 4 p.m., and I guess I bullshitted some of the last half of the trek, feeling kinda confident about the zombies being slow and all, but I knew I only had so much daylight left. I needed shelter and to eat and get hydrated. I wound a corner and saw a large steel gate and a small hill with rocks which spelt out in giant letters ALV, which a private road by the looks of it wound up the hill and disappeared. That's what I'm talking about, I said to no one, of course, but myself. I turned off the street around the steel front entry gate and raced up the hill, hoping that no one or nothing else saw me in my departure. What I saw blew me away. This place had some serious Lord of the Rings knockoff vibes. Something straight out of a fantasy novel, and I loved it. I hopped off my bike and walked down some stone steps. It was like I was downtown in some fairy tale market or something. It was freaking sweet. I saw an area covered with tons of tables and chairs. And to my right, there was different themed rooms or something that were all connected in the same hill, like I was in the Shire. I was totally geeking out of my mind. I almost forgot that I was being chased by frickin' zombies and God knows what else had spawned here. I started checking each of the doors to see if any of them were open. The first was the biggest looking hobbit place with a tan exterior, which was locked and had two windows at the bottom floor that wouldn't open either. I continued down the thin stone walkway to this huge two-story wooden trunk of a tree building and a balcony that was on the second floor and checked that too. But of course, it was locked. I wouldn't be so lucky as I peeked through the window seeing a vending machine and shit. I tried the next two doors, which both looked identical from the outside at least, but both of those were locked. I couldn't believe no one, not a single soul was here. It looked to me like the perfect spot off in the cuts away from everyone and far enough away from the city to just stay put. And this place was like concrete stone structured, so definitely stronger than a wooden house. I tried the next door down the stone path, which had a wooden outlined frame with grayish stone covering the whole front of the orangish wooden door and squared windows. I turned the knob and the door creaked open. Yes, I said, opening the door to this motel room, I thought to myself, walking inside and shutting the door behind me and locking it. To my left, there was a stone wood-burning fireplace. Then a queen-sized bed to the far left. No TV? What the hell, people? I said out loud. To my right was a full L-shaped counter kitchen open area with cabinets, and I saw a microwave and a mini-fridge was tucked underneath. A crazy-looking circular deer antler above hung, and the place had a full-on walk-in shower and toilet, sink, everything. Wow, this is amazing. I was hella jazzed that I had overly stuffed my backpack and started emptying out its contents into the mini fridge. And the place still seemed to have power and AC. Hell yes. I turned on the AC to 60 degrees and hopped into the shower. I stayed in the shower for a good hour, maybe longer. My fingers looked like raisins when I got out, and the steam fully covered the mirror above the sink. No matter. This was the safe house, I said to myself. If all goes well and shit doesn't hit the fan, forcing me to relocate, I will just camp out here until the 7-day hits and be done with this shit. Night came. Distant screams in the far background once again, but not as loud as it was earlier on. Less people, less noises, less everything, I said to myself. I ate some food and drank more water. Took off my clothing because, damn it, I haven't felt AC in God knows how long. And got naked, popped in bed, and passed out. Day 6. Safety at the Ancient Lore Shire. Waking up feeling half orc and half hobbit definitely got my man nipples hard with the environment I was in. And the AC I'm sure helped with that also. I laughed out loud to myself. I haven't spoken to another person since I started this mess. Now I'm starting to tell myself jokes. Am I going nuts or simply entertaining myself? I thought. No matter. I got up and went into the mini kitchen and grabbed something to eat and drink and sat on the edge of the bed. I got dressed and peeked out the window, seeing if anything was wandering around. When I felt encouraged enough that the coast was clear, I opened up the door slowly and took a nearby rock and stuck it at the edge of the door and the frame just in case it happened to lock if I closed the door. I didn't think that would happen since the door was originally open when I had arrived here yesterday evening, but I didn't want to test my luck either way. I slipped outside and saw my bike was still propped up, which was good. I looked both ways and saw not a soul. Good. That's what I wanted. I didn't want to deal with anything as much as possible. I have already killed people and some hellspawn and ran like a little bitch from a horde of zombies. Yeah, I'm good with people and everything else around here. Screw 'em. I decided to turn right, holding my shotgun on both hands at the ready just in case shit really did hit the fan out here. I saw a nice looking fire pit set up, which I would love to use tonight, if everything goes smoothly, that is. I then saw more rooms where I tried checking their knobs, but they were unfortunately locked. Why the room I was in was unlocked, I'll never know, but I'll take the win. I came upon an archery-looking area, a practicing shooting range with circular target spots and various distances. I saw a bow leaning against the wall of the area and grabbed an arrow that was also on the ground and tried it out myself. I was never any good at archery myself because I'm left-handed for one thing, and technically holding it as a lefty you're supposed to use your right eye as the aimer. And with my eyesight having astigmatisms in both eyes, being nearsighted and farsighted, which sucked monkey balls, but my left eye is better of the two, so I was not destined to be an archer at all whatsoever. I tried wielding it as a righty and God no, I couldn't even hold it properly, let alone aim and shoot. After about an hour, I gave up all hope and walked around a little bit more. There was a parking lot above, and I saw some little trails in the distance as well. A cute little getaway, I thought. I could totally see myself coming here, in a normal world, that is. I bet this place was crazy expensive, even though there's literally like nothing to do. I mean, there wasn't even a TV in my room. I know it's meant to be a getaway, but sheesh, have more activities or something, and not charge for every single one. I eventually got bored, went back to my room and took a nap. My body needed it. Really, it did. I've been pretty much non-stop this whole time and I was enjoying this to the fullest. I awoke to the sounds of movement from somewhere outside. It wasn't extremely loud, but there was someone or something definitely in the area. I got up, slipping on my boots, putting on my belt and grabbing the machete, slipping it between the belt, grabbing my shotgun and peeking through one of the windows. I shook my head silently as I knew what those sounds now were. There was a lone zombie slowly walking down the stone path away from my door. It had on a tattered, ripped-up suit, grayish-green skin sagging from its shoulders and arms. Well, what was left of its skin, that is. The head had no hair, and there were spots already rotting for what I assumed were months, if not years, of decay underground. It had a slight limp in its step. I had to take it out. I'd like to be able to relax tonight without worrying about these walking dead bastards, being my last night before judgment and all. Plus, I really wanted to relax around that big fire pit tonight. I silently creaked the door open and stepped outside. I wanted to be as quiet as possible, not to only sneak this kill, but not to attract anything else that may or may not be lingering around. Knowing basic knowledge from watching the Walking Dead TV show and Dawn of the Dead movie, a headshot is how to kill them. Anything else is a waste of energy or ammo. Putting it to the test, I took out my machete and tiptoed up from behind to the zombie and swung the machete across the neck, decapitating it right there as the head plopped on the ground and the body fell like an infant trying to take its first step.
GTA, motherfudger! Yeah! 10 points!
In my Mike Epps voice from Resident Evil 2 movie. I was just about to analyze the zombie, but decided not to. For one, it's dead. There's nothing of value on it for me. And second, just out of respect. I turned to head back to my room and almost dropped my machete. Three more zombies 30 feet away now saw me as they turned their limp bodies in my direction and started coming in my direction on the stone path.
You gotta be kidding me,
I said out loud. F it, at this point. How many of these things from that cemetery are here and not just following the road, I wondered. I hope there aren't more of them for my sake at least. I didn't want to use my guns to avoid loud noises just in case there was a frickin' zombie horde down the hill or something. I took them out one at a time with ease. As long as there was space between them, killing them one at a time was not a problem. Now if I didn't know about the head roll, there would have been a big chance I'd be zombie food. But luckily I'm a horror movie junkie and I knows these things. Once the three were taken out, I looked up seeing dusk was now here and darkness would be here in less than an hour. You know what? Screw the fire pit. This is my last night here. It's done. I'm done. I'll camp out in the damn room until tomorrow. Plus, I really did need a clear head for tomorrow's judgment choice decision. The two choices were not an easy one to make. There were pros and cons to both, and I'd hate to make the wrong decision, if there even was a wrong choice between the two. I went back inside my room and shut and locked the door. I placed the shotgun on the counter to my right and removed my machete as well as my belt with gun and ammo and just sat at the edge of the bed and went into deep thought. I must have really zoned out because when I looked at my watch, I yawned and noticed that it was already past 9 p.m. Well, that's that. I got up and grabbed some food and water, used the restroom, and prepared for bed. Day 7. Tough decisions must be made. It was an early night, but I must have needed it because I slept like a baby. Waking up feeling honestly fantastic as I did my morning power stretch in bed when I first wake up following my morning toot of glory in the waking hour.
Was that sexy?
I asked in my childhood voice to myself laughing. I got up, washed my face in the sink before smooching at myself in the mirror and taking a fat shit. I hopped in the shower and got dressed. In the kitchen, I ate pretty much everything that was left in the mini fridge that I had unpacked from my backpack upon discovering this room a couple of days back now. It was nice having a cozy little getaway here. I wish I could have just been sent here to begin with. I would have just broken into that one building and jacked the vending food and drinks and stayed here for the full 7 days. I smiled at the thought. But then again, where's the fun in that? A familiar booming voice then spoke out in my mind, the same one from when this whole mess started. The god or judgment council, whatever, dissing me, saying that I'm just their pawn for entertainment or some crap I remember him or it saying.
Congratulations, Mr. Gray, for completing the 7 days of chaos. You made the right choices and distanced yourself from not only the monsters we sent, but from your fellow man as well. Now the time has come for the rebirth of times for your planet. Seeing as you have stayed alive, we leave the outcome choice to you.
Option number 1. A total cleanse of the world with a fresh start with your species, along with the creatures and vegetation life currently there.
Option number 2.
Let your world fix itself from the 7 days of chaos if it doesn't destroy itself first. Please note, if you pick this option, there is no guarantee that your world will heal itself to where it was before this trial. The two option boxes were in my vision, and it didn't seem like I had a third option or any room to negotiate with this god or demigod, whatever the hell he or it was. I know a total cleanse would be what? Like Noah's Ark or something? Unless I had a pimped out boat with people of my choosing and felt like Brennan and Dale from Step Brothers, I didn't really know what that cleanse really entailed. On the other hand, with option number two, I could let the world figure out how to fix the mess it's been given. Honestly, there's no promise that it would or could. We can't even get a leader who makes any sense speaking, but somehow is in control of millions of people. Honestly, I have lost hope in humanity. Time and time again, they have done nothing they say they're gonna do, but continue to destroy and hate each other, and raise taxes, and everything is so frickin' impossible to afford, and the list continues. I took a deep breath, steadied myself mentally and physically, and chose my answer.